Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, our listeners can post jobs at ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email in your audio file on your mobile device to send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com for getting your show or getting your story possibly on the show. Lots of ghost stories today. Your calls today. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you. Once again,
hi.
Baffled by the rabbit pictures that you're looking at over there.
Giant bunnies.
I didn't know rabbits could get that big.
No, I didn't either.
Or referring to the day that we're recording this show, there was an incident with an airline again, and a rabbit. You probably saw it in the news, where it was in the cargo hold and it didn't survive. And at first, when I saw the story today, I thought it was fake. Because, like, rabbits don't get... That was like the Onion.
Sure.
You know, it's like, the rabbits don't get that big. Oh, they do. I had no idea. Are rabbits a lot... I mean, I know, like, rabbits in a cage. As I'm referring back to my childhood memories of kids who had rabbits as pets. Uh-huh. And all my memory of it was that they were a lot of work, mm-hmm. if you will. And the cage did tend to smell quite a bit and took a lot of maintenance to keep it up. But I have heard of people like having them as like pets, like cats.
I've heard both. My experience was it was a lot of work and very messy. And my bunny happened to be a mean one.
Yeah, you had a mean rabbit?
He bit me a lot.
But there are nice ones, I'm sure.
There are, yeah.
It's and like any animal.
Yeah, and I had no idea how you begin to train a rabbit.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a kid, so I...
Sure.
I don't know how you get it to train to be litter box trained, but they can do that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was just, I mean, some of these giant rabbits are like the size of small dogs. I had
no medium sized dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I just had no idea seeing these pictures. Like that would really be kind of cool if you could train that thing to just kind of hop around the house. It would be like having your own personal Easter bunny.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm sure there's like so much more that goes along with it, you know, in terms of just keeping up with the animal so it's safe and happy and healthy. And it's kind of like the illusion idea where it's like, oh, it'd be so great to have it as a pet. And then you have it, you're like, oh, gosh.
It's like everybody wants an elephant, but nobody can really take care of an elephant.
Well, it really, you know, I'm all about responsible pet ownership. Like, if you have the pet, you should take care of it.
Sure.
You know, or don't have the pet. And that's not say, like, go get rid of the pet, but just don't get it in the first place. You know, you don't get pets. I'm not big about pets as gifts. You know, because a lot of times pets as gifts, you know, it's something that should be planned, should be thought about for whoever's going to get it. I mean, unless it was like, okay, we're going to get it for your birthday and you've been talking about it and it's known.
Mm-hmm.
But like over the a couple of weeks ago over Easter, there was like this van out in front of Walmart And it was selling rabbits out of the back of the van. Like, literally, I think it was on Easter.
Oh.
And it was like, okay, I'm not against someone selling animals.
Sure.
You know, if, you know, they're a farm or something, that's what happens. You know, but at the same point, it's like, yeah, you know, that seems like a really whim decision. If you're going to go, you're going out and you're picking up, you know, Easter eggs and you're ham for the holiday, and then, oh hey, let's buy a rabbit as a pet too. It's just, yeah, like that should be a little more thought out than I just bought it out of the van as I was pulling. It's not like a hot dog.
Right.
Like, oh, I could really go for a hot dog at the Quick Trip. It's not like, oh, I could really go for a pet rabbit for the next 10 years.
You know? Right. It should never be a spontaneous decision.
But anyway, I was really surprised to see the rabbits got that big. That's cool. That's neat. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. I love your podcast and been a long time listener and wanted to call in for a while. This isn't really a scary story, but I thought you might be interested in it. Give you a little bit of background. I grew up in a very non-religious family. But my father was very open-minded, very inquisitive about what happens after you die. So we had a lot of discussions about it growing up. It was, you know, something I really enjoyed to talk to him about. But anyways, he was an aerospace engineer, a really smart guy, really, really nice guy. Didn't have a mean bone in his body, just very kind soul. But he fell into alcoholism towards the end of his life. He ended up dying at about 54 years of age. But at the time, because of his alcoholism, my sisters and my mom didn't talk to him anymore. But I would call him, you know, every week just to talk and catch up and see where he's going. And he ended up telling me that he didn't want to live anymore. And a week later, he passed away. Anyways, my grandma called me and told me he passed away. So we went, my girlfriend at the time, we went down to his funeral and said some nice things about him. And I wasn't really grieving because I knew he was suffering. And I was just happy to not see him in that state anymore. I get back home, excuse me. And at the time I was working some like mid shifts at work. So I was working like 10 to 8 or 10 to 9 or something like that. And I would go to the gym in the morning, and my girlfriend at the time was working kind of opposite shifts, and came into the apartment and walked into the room, and I saw this like column of, looked like incense smoke, about the size of a human, in the bedroom. And I rubbed my eyes, I looked at it again, and I was like, wow, I have to get my eyes checked. Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe my eyes are failing me. And I didn't think anything more of it. The next day, same thing happens, but in the living room. I walk into the house. I'm by myself. I see this like column of smoke in the living room, and I'm looking at it. I was like, wow, I really need to get my eyes checked. Well, this keeps happening for about like 3 or 4 more days. I keep seeing this like column of incense smoke in the house. And, you know, my girlfriend used to burn incense. So I'd like smell and be like, well, it doesn't smell like incense. And my girlfriend's not home, so that's kind of weird. So I come home one night from work around 10, and my girlfriend at the time gets off around the same time that night. And she starts cooking dinner, and she's in the kitchen, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table. The kitchen table has a view of the living room, and there's a blockage where she's cooking. And we're just talking about our days. Like, how was your day? Oh, good. You know, good. How was your day? Great. You know, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I see this column of smoke again in the living room. So I kind of trail off on what I'm saying. You know, my day is great, but I just get. And she says, are you looking at something? I was like, oh, no, no, it's nothing. It's nothing. She's like, are you looking at the smoke? And I was like, yeah, I am. She's like, I've been seeing it too. It's your dad. So we both walk up right to this column of this incense-looking smoke and say, Dad, is that you? And it just sat there and then kind of dissipated and disappeared. And after that, I never saw it again. And I even talked to, like, my mom and my sisters, my grandma, asking them if they ever saw anything like that. And I said no. But I think it was just my dad coming back to say, yeah, there is something here after you go. There is something after you die, which kind of answered the question of what we talked about, you know, all throughout our whole lives. And It was a beautiful thing. So anyway, just wanted to share that story with you and love your podcast. I'm excited every time I update my podcast and there's a new online ghost stories available. So, all right, that's it. All right, have a good day. Bye.
I love it when spirits kind of have that natural taste for timing, you know? They mm-hmm. come back, let you know something is on the other side, but then they don't make a habit out of coming back too much or scaring you, you know? Mm-hmm. They do it, I guess, tastefully.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how often that is where there's a haunting that's very quick, brief, to the point, done, and it's like, oh, that was it, just like this, mm-hmm. where that is the only purpose of the visit, and it's to tell the message that a lot of us discuss. It's, you know, what's on the other side, and that's just it. Just like, look, it's me, I'm over here, ha ha, done, okay, bye.
Yeah.
I'm going to go enjoy the other side. I wonder how often that is it.
Probably pretty often. I mean, because a lot of them, they come back right after death, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm. I could very much see that. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. We greatly appreciate it. Hey, are you in a position of hiring folks, whether it's your own business or that is part of your job description? If so, you got to be using ZipRecruiter. If you're not, you are not getting the best hires. That's for sure. This is an amazing engine that lets you post your job to all of the job sites. Just posting your position that's open just to one site and hoping for the best is not going to get you enough quality candidates. This will get it to all the top job sites. It's amazing. ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. You find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. Just post once, watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. That's another great thing about it. You're not trying to like juggle your inbox, and then you're finding all these weird emails that are coming in that have nothing to do with the position or non-qualified candidates. It makes hiring so easy. So easy. No juggling emails or calls or different screens and systems. And find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, you guys can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. One more time. Try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. The phone number on our show is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Hello, this is Chad, and I have not experienced a ghost encounter myself, thankfully, but my grandmother apparently has. And this story takes place back in 2009. We live in Florida, but my grandparents are originally from Pennsylvania, and so am I. But my grandparents went up there to visit some friends, some old friends of the family, and they stayed in the house of their friends for a couple nights while they were there. And this is a house that, you know, they've been to the visit many times. You know, what it is my mom, her best friend growing up, it's her parents' house. So, ever since they were like teenagers, my mom and her friend. So my grandparents had visited this house many times, and I even went to it, as a child. And my mom and I actually even stayed there a few nights when I was a teenager, and nothing happened. But anyway, back in 2009, my grandparents were visiting, and apparently their first night there, they're on the second story. This is the two-story home. And my grandmother is laying in bed. They just went to bed, and apparently they have the door open to their bedroom, and you can see the hallway out there. And at some point, my grandmother notices that it's kind of cold in the room. And also, let me prefaced with, I'm a Christian, and most of the people in my family are Christians, and including my grandmother, my grandfather. My grandmother is kind of one of the patriarchs in our family in that regard. And, you know, ghost stories are not exactly something she would tell or necessarily believe in. I mean, we believe, obviously, in demonic entities, you know, as Christians, because the Bible speaks of demonic things. But anyway, hearing my grandmother talk about a ghost story is the least thing that you would expect. So anyway, she notices that it gets cold, and all of a sudden, she's laying there, and she looks out in the hallway, and she sees the ghost of an old woman coming down the hallway, wearing what she described as kind of, you know, turn-of-the-century burial clothes. It's kind of like a long black gown. And this old woman is holding a light. Originally, when she told the story the first time, she said it was a lantern. A few years later, I casually talked to my grandmother about this story, and she said it was a flashlight. But my grandma is now almost 78 years old, so I'm not going to let that discredit her story. So this old woman is coming down the hallway with a light, and she has a very sinister grin on her face as she looks at my grandmother. And my grandma is very scared. And let me give some more backstory. My grandmother is actually a minister, a Pentecostal minister. She has been early in her life, and she still, you know, can minister from time to time. But so there again, she's not necessarily believing in ghosts, but you know, demon entities. But what she's seen seems to be a ghost. And so she tells my grandfather, turn the light on. I guess the lamp is on his side of the bed. Now, my grandfather did not experience any of this phenomenon that I know of. He didn't see what she saw, but he does believe her. So he turns the light on, and the thing disappears. So my grandmother was very shaken by this. And my grandmother is someone who, you know, in the past, in her days of ministry, I mean, she has, you know, rebuked demons out of people. When she was a little girl, she always tells a story of seeing this woman that was being possessed and slithering around like a snake. And her and these other ministers, you know, help, you know, rebuke the demon out of this woman. But this encounter shook her what seemed like even more than that. And so my grandma says that the next day, her and my grandfather are trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here? And they think, you know, I wonder if someone died here. So at breakfast, my grandmother brings up to their friend that owns the house if someone had ever died there. Of course, he's taken aback by that question, and you know, asked, you know, why would you ask something like that? And he even kind of asked, you know, is this a premonition or is this something, you know, regarding the past? He was kind of freaked out either way. And my grandma, she plays it off. She does love history, and she just said, well, you know, I'm a big history buff, and this is an older house, I'm just curious. So apparently he says that when he was younger, the original owners of the house was his aunt and uncle, and his grandmother lived there. And apparently his grandmother hung herself in that home. Now, you know, this is what my grandmother told me that he said, and my grandmother is a trustworthy person. I mean, I believe her. You know, now she is getting old, but you know, the thing is, I haven't been able to fact check this because it's a sensitive subject. You know, I haven't brought it up to my mom because I think my mom would just mock the situation and just say that my grandma was telling a story. Their relationship is not that great. But so it's like I can't, because my mom is, and my stepdad, they're still friends with the owner of this house, that he no longer lives there. He's kind of at a retirement home, and his daughters have sold that house, which is kind of interesting. You know, I wonder who has it now, and if they ever experienced anything. Hopefully not. But, you know, I could find out some more information if I was ever able to talk to my mom about it and do some kind of searching for facts to back up, you know, what she's relaying back to me that he had told her about his grandmother hanging herself there. So my grandma finds this out, and then, like, another night that week, she gets up to use the restroom. There's another room up there that's not used. The door's closed. She says she hears, like, racket in that room. She knows it's not her friends that the home belongs to. They stay downstairs. And she hears this racket in the room, and it frightens her. And she, like, rebukes, you know, a demon. And she says it stops. End of the supernatural encounter that week, apparently. So it's a crazy story, especially coming from anyone in my family, especially coming from my grandmother. And it's something that I have actually typed out in an email to myself, and I saved it in a folder in my email just so I wouldn't forget details, just because it's a fantastic story. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that with somebody and share that with you guys. And I listen to you guys through YouTube and enjoy doing that while I work sometimes. Thanks again.
Nothing like a grandmother story where where she's not the ghost, but she's the one dealing with the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Exorcism Grandma's, the one I was thinking about. Remember those? We had an author writing in about his grandmother who, like, there was something bad coming down the street, and mm-hmm. she ran out and mm-hmm. took care of it. I forgot his name, though.
Yeah, I do remember that one. And it was, she was just like, yep, I got this, and just
took
did
off.
It.
Yeah.
It was as if it was like second nature. It was like she was going to the mailbox.
Right.
And it was just like, okay. And she came back. It was all was good.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Good story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. And he was thinking ahead. That's a good idea. You know, if you got something like that, you know, even as stunning as it may be, as shocking as it may be, you know, you're going to want to recount the details of that someday, and you can, you know, start telling it, and then it may kind of get changed up a little bit over time. People are going to ask you questions. Things are going to get implanted in your mind, you know, and it may slightly change. Not that it's intentional. The best thing to do when you have something like that happen is just write it down
mm-hmm.
as in as raw and as recent form as it can ever be. That way you can always go back and reference going, well, yeah, did that part happen though? Like 20 years later,
right.
You know. Or was that something I thought, like, well, that'd be really freaky, but you don't really quite remember, because especially when it's something that is so out there to have happen, it's easy to get confused as to, you know, well, did I dream that part of it? Or was this part that somebody asked, you know?
Yeah.
Then it's there. Just, yeah. So if you got a ghost story, or here's a better idea, call it into our show, and then and then it's there too. And then you can reference the show in 20 years from now. Imagine how much scrolling you're going to have to do to find a show from like 20.
Oh, my gosh.
It wouldn't even be up there on iTunes, because it only goes to like 300 episodes there. But it would be archived on our website. That's where it would be going to live once it's out there forever. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP it. Become an EPP member. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes of our show. And you get a bunk bed bill if you sign up for a full year. Yeah, so lots of good stuff there.
Yeah.
Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Brewskies. This is Jay from Pennsylvania. I listen to your show. I found it on Spotify, and I hope to be a definitely joining for the sorry about that. I'm a little nervous. An EPP member. I actually live not too far away from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, even though I was born and raised in North Carolina. Growing up, my father and I, we would always go to Civil War battlefields, and he very much was a strong influence on my love of history. So ever since I was at a young age, we would do Civil War reenacting and just go all over battlefields, and I have loads of stories of things that I've encountered that maybe one day I can save for another time. But me and my stepmother one day, my dad was off at an actual Civil War reenactment in Virginia. We couldn't go to it. Decided that we still wanted to go and do something, you know, related to the Civil War. So we decided to take a picnic up to Gettysburg Battlefield. Well, we were out there for a couple of hours just enjoying each other's time, and we decided that we were going to have a picnic around the Devil's Den area. Well, a lot of people, you know, may be familiar with Devil's Den, but some aren't. Devil's Den was an area of the battlefield that a lot of soldiers basically was charging up Little Round Top and had to cross through. Which was known as the Devil's Den. It was a lot of Texas soldiers, Alabama soldiers, that I learned, you know, later on after the story. We were leaving Devil's Den, and we were going around the corner behind Devil's Den, right past a little area called the Triangular Field. And we seen a soldier who I figured was a reenactor. He looked as what we would call a hardcore reenactor. He was barefoot. He had gunpowder all over his face. He had holes in his uniform, and he had a rifle over his shoulder, just kind of slouching, not in a very soldier-type way, but just kind of more of a relaxed, kind of at-ease walk, just pacing through. So it led me to believe, wow, that is such an authentic reenactor. And I, being, you know, preteen, stuck my head out the window and was like, oh, wow, you look so great, like, awesome. And in that moment, I got chills, and it was like something just went through me. He was solid white in the face. There was gunpowder all over his face. And when he looked at me, his eyes were black. I instantly leaned back into the truck. My stepmother slammed on brakes. We turned around and looked, and there was no one there. We still can't explain it. We looked in the trees. We looked all over behind us, and there was no soldier to be found. Looking up more information, the park is not particularly fond of people carrying rifles on the battlefield because it's hollowed ground. So you be this, you know, you guys decide. Was it a ghost or was it a reenactor? Well, we will never know. I thank you, and hopefully you guys play the story. If not, it's okay. I hope to call in a little later with some more stories of my Civil War experiences and other experiences just from my childhood. So, once again, love you guys. Love hearing everyone's stories and the fact that we all have somewhere to go thanks to you guys. You guys have a wonderful day. Thanks.
Ghost or reenactor?
I think ghost, because most of the time, if you're a reenactor, you might be made up to look like you've been injured,
mm-hmm.
but not already pale, eyes sunken in, dead.
That's usually not. They don't usually go for zombie at the reenactment things.
No, that's just completely distasteful if you show up to a battlefield dressed like that.
I'm the corpse. It's been here for, that probably would not go over very well. That could be a podcast all on its own, and every week it focuses on having a conversation with a reenactor of some sort from something that's you call it like mistaken for a ghost, and it's just always a reenactor talking mm-hmm. about how they were mistaken for a ghost.
Sure.
And then how they stalked down the people and freaked the hell out of them for years to come. Just for fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I bet you a lot of reenactors do have a story or two to tell of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where it's just like, I was at, there's so many things that, like, people reenact.
Sure.
You know, these days, beyond this war stuff, that could be really creepy. I mean, I'm just thinking back to, like, a time I was at the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island, and everybody was in, like, their Titanic attire. And it was, if I saw a ghost that day, I really wouldn't have known it unless they were translucent.
Yeah.
And that could have been like the prime day too for the ghost to be like, hell, we're coming out, you know, nobody's going to know. And we'll just fit right in and even get some shrimp cocktail while they're at it. You know, also you see like the shrimp like falling through. So I'm like, what the hell? Oh my God, that's a ghost.
Yeah.
That's how you know. That's how you know.
I bet you they're aware that that doesn't work out and they don't try and eat.
I would still try and do the shrimp cocktail. It's because we had something once where I don't know how the hell anyone would have this knowledge or it was just a theory or what it was, but it was something to the effect of that if you're a ghost and you want to taste the food, you just have to go through it.
I think it's an assumption.
An assumption? It's not like a proven fact, like somebody hasn't
Ouija'd
this.
It?
It's like you Google it, you Ouija it. And
right.
then the other side tells you what the answer is.
Well, I could see somebody with the ability to speak to spirits asking that question, yeah. But, you know.
It's like Ouija Earth. That's a new app where Ouija, it shows you where the ghosts are. Mm. It's like Google Earth, but Ouija Earth.
Would you really want to know?
Somebody should create a search engine that's just based on the Ouija board.
No.
I wonder if that's out there. Let's Google digital Ouija board. Can we do it if it's
there's digital Ouija boards.
There?
Yeah, there's games.
Does that work though?
I think there's like an iPad version or some kind of shit like that.
Ah, that's bullshit. maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I suppose it's. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that needs to almost be like the real deal. Mm-hmm. That there's too many variables when it's a digital product. Mm-hmm. Couldn't there be? I mean, I don't know. Without knowing the coding of it, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that could work or wouldn't work.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess, you know, it's hard to say that is bullshit when you have like ghost detector and things like that. And people actually do get results out of it that are like kind of like weird and undefeatable as being related to the what's going on, mm-hmm. You know? So I don't know. I would like to hear from someone who's used a digital Ouija board on an iPad or what have you. Did it work? As well as a regular one. I'm not encouraging the use. I'm just curious. If you've done it, tell us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. My name's Hannah. I'm from Wyoming. Now, I have a story to tell you about a place where I used to work. I worked at the Territorial Prison here in town. And it's about an inmate. And then I have a separate one about a gal who used to work there. Now, the inmate's name was Julius, and he was a cigar maker. Now, I used to kind of make a joke out of his story when I was a tour guide until this incident happened to me, and I was like, oh, no more jokes. So Julius was sent to the Territorial Prison when he killed his wife. Now, the reason why I used to make a joke out of the story is because he killed her at a house of ill repute in Evanston. Well, she was working at the House of Ill Repute, so it's kind of ironic that she was working and he went. Now, since he was a cigar maker, we always think it's him because there's this really strong smell of cigar smoke. And he died of a heart attack. He's one of the two people to die at the jail. Now, my incident was I was kind of doing my usual thing of, well, this is really ironic. This is why he came. And I had this, like, choking of cigar smoke over my mouth. I couldn't breathe. I had to step away from his conduct picture, and I hurried my tour upstairs, trying to stay calm, but it scared me really bad. We've had other people come into the front desk, into the visitor center, and say, you know, I thought this was not smoking. I don't know why we're smelling smoke here. And be kind of mad at us. We had a little girl on a school tour actually have to get taken out of the prison because she was having an asthma attack because of the smoke. And Julius is one of the only really active ghosts there. Now, my other story is of Dr. Slauson. She was a female priest that was there. She's the first woman chaplain in the entire U.S. prison system, so that's pretty cool. Anyway, I had a gal come in who had done a self-guided tour, and she came up to me in the front, and she told me she really, really enjoyed our interpreter that was upstairs in the prison, and that's where the Dr. Slauson exhibit was. And I looked at her, and I said, well, can you describe her to me? And she says, yeah, she was in 1800s clothing, and she had so much information on Dr. Slauson, and just kept telling you about this gal, so I brought out a picture of her, and I showed it to her, and I said, well, is this her? And it was a picture of Dr. Slauson. She said, yes, yes, that's her. And I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, we don't have any volunteers up there today. And her face just kind of went white, and she left, and ended up calling my supervisor, and I was like, hey, can you come up to the front? Like, this was really scary. Well, there's been some other instances at the prison. Those are just two of the more fun ones that I'm aware of. I've been a firm believer in the paranormal since I was a little kid. So your podcast has been absolutely wonderful, and I plan on calling back with more stories. Thank you.
There you go. It's very common, I should say, to have that smell, the smell of the smoke of whether it be tobacco from, you know, a pipe or a cigar or a cigarette, you know, with a haunting. And I'm wondering if in the future, if that's going to be less of a thing because fewer and fewer people use those things. You know, it used to be, you know, I don't even know what the percentage, probably pretty damn high.
Yeah.
Like 90, I would guess 80, 90% of the population probably, and depending on the country you're in, was probably a user of such product at some point in their life.
I don't know if it was that high,
no?
But probably pretty high.
Yeah. I wonder, you know, because it seems to be a distinct smell in hauntings. Now, you know, as that changes and the ghosts change and transition to a more recent generation, or they get out there more, are we going to have less of that, more of that? What are we going to smell with ghosts?
More weed. Don't mean that to be facetious, but as that starts becoming more legal, I think that's going to be the smoke smell that we're going to pick up. Like, be like, oh yeah, that's Uncle So-and-so.
That'll be the excuse the teenagers use. It's like, it's not me, really. It's Grandpa.
Yeah.
He's getting high. I'm not playing that Dark Side of the Moon record either. I'm just hearing it coming through my vents and I'm smelling weed. I don't know what the hell it is. It's Grandpa. Okay, Junior, whatever you say. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the dismissive parent. Like, and then the kids are like, yes, another one pinned on dead Grandpa. but I don't know. I mean, I just talked about today. I did a little Facebook live session and somebody was asking about ghost smells. And I said, the only one I can really think of was when we were in that antique store and we walked by a display area and there was that very strong pipe tobacco smell. And you know what that pipe tobacco smell is when you smell it. And walked back to the other part of the store and I came back to that area. And it was completely gone. There was no one smoking in the store. And we just assumed it had to have been something with that display.
And it was like, we didn't walk very far away.
No.
It was like a 30 second
to
the end of that aisle, turn around and head back.
Yeah. And I don't think they're piping in tobacco scented potpourri.
If it had been a piece of furniture or something that had been in, mm-hmm. you know, an area that was heavily used and still held that smell, you'd still smell it when you came mm-hmm. back. And there was nobody around.
Yeah.
It was very odd.
And it was like you were standing next to the person. It was so strong. There's a difference between furniture or a rug or something that smells like that mm-hmm. and standing next to a person smoking mm-hmm. that. And we didn't see smoke or anything, but it was just as strong as standing next to a person that was smoking, I thought. Did you feel like it was that strong?
My pipe tobacco interactions are limited. Yeah. So I was just going with what could this possibly really be? But then when you turn around and come back within 30 seconds and there's no, you know, remnants of it, there's nothing explainable.
Sure.
Then I'm like, we just smelled a ghost.
We did. I mean, my experience references back to my mom's dad who was a big pipe smoker. And that's how I know the smell. It was just, I was like, God, there's the first thing I thought of because mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever known anyone who's ever smoked a pipe like on a regular basis like that. And it was just, oh God, I haven't smelled that in how many years? Mm-hmm. And then it's just gone. So there, we smelled a ghost. Mm-hmm. That should be the title of our next book. I smelled a ghost. Just, you know, you can have all the creepy titles you want, but I don't think anyone's like throwing out I smelled a ghost as a title. It seems very us too.
Yeah.
I smelled a ghost. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi there, Tony and Jenny. My name is Jenny as well, and I am from Minnesota, and I'm a fairly newer listener to your guys' podcast, but I thought I would share this short story to you guys since I don't get a ton of experiences, but I've always wanted to. So my friend Melissa and my friend Ian and I used to take nightly walks around Melissa's neighborhood every single day in the summer times at night. And one summer night, we were making our way around a corner, and we saw this girl come from around out of nowhere. And we thought about it, and She would have had to cross underneath the streetlight to get to where she was walking, but we did not see her go underneath that light. The only other way to get onto that street was to jump a fence, and we would have noticed that as well. So we're walking a distance behind her because we were pretty frightened. And this girl had long black hair and was shuffling her feet very slowly. And so we slowed down our walk because we wanted to kind of stay behind her because we were getting a little scared. And she kind of reminded me from the girl from the movie The Ring. That's the only thing I can describe that's close enough to her. So she approached the next corner, and I finally had the guts to decide to run as fast as I could and go past her. And then my friends ensued behind me. None of us had the guts to look at her, though, when we ran past. We then looked behind us and saw her headed to this old abandoned white farmhouse in the neighborhood that we knew had been abandoned. And she walked over there and suddenly just disappeared. We could not believe what we were seeing. And as we try to tell this story to other people, they don't believe us, but we all know what we saw that night. So I know this is a short story, but I thought I would tell you guys, and I know that you guys and your listeners would appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
I think that's pretty cut and dry. The ring girl goes to the abandoned farmhouse. End of story. Yeah.
I don't know that I'd be that eager to try and figure out more about it.
Mm-mm.
If I'm getting the ring girl vibe out of it, it's not like... Like the vibe of, I'm trying to think of, it's like Casper or something, really. Like, oh, look at that.
Or this glowing little happy orb just yeah. kind of makes its way over there.
Yeah. It's the ring girl. Let's go see what we can find out. Well, thanks for sharing. 855-853-4802. The phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Yes, you are up next.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Casey. I called on Polly Carriage. Now, and I told my train track lantern ghost story. And lately, since I know you're doing your new podcast, and I've been hearing a lot of paranormal dream stories, I've been kind of inspired to tell the one related to me. This isn't my story. This is my mother's story, but it has to do with my birth, my conception. My mother had me when she was a bit older, and she was told that she would most likely not be able to have kids. It was a very, very, very low percentage chance that she was able to get pregnant. But one night, she went to sleep, and she had a dream of my great-grandmother. Now, my great-grandmother had passed a few years, but since her mother died young, my mother's mother, she had really always been a mother figure and played a huge role in my mom's life. In the dream, my grandmother was holding a blanket, or my great-grandmother was holding a blanket with a little baby in it, and she handed it to my mother, and my mom looked at her and said, "What are you doing? This isn't my baby." And she continued to hand it to my mother, and my mom said, "I can't have kids." And all my great-grandmother said was, "I've always taken care of you, and I always will." The next morning, as much as I hate to think about this, she and my father got together, and I was apparently conceived. She started calling my grandfather and other family members and telling them she was pregnant. They asked how far along she was, and she told them her story. They thought she had gone absolutely insane. But as it turns out, she went to the doctors, and I had been conceived. My birthday was set to be my great-grandmother's birthday, but I was premature. I ended up being born on my grandmother's anniversary of her death. I don't know, but there really does seem to be something paranormal about that to me. Thanks so much for all you guys do. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
I think sometimes you get a little help from the other side in those things.
Yeah?
What do you think?
I could see that. I had no idea where the story was going initially, where it's like, and it's a story about my conception and ghosts.
Well, but it was
clean. It was. I was afraid it was going to be like all of a sudden, and mom and dad were playing the Ouija board with their shirts off one night.
No.
Boom, what the wow, wow. And then the spirit said, do this.
That's terrible.
Boom, what the wow, wow. And then the ready whip came out. And then it was like, oh God, we got to stop this story.
I liked her story.
It was good. It was. And I agree. There was. I agree. I think that sometimes that can certainly play a part. I just had to add something.
I know you did.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for sharing your stories if you were on today's episode. If you want to keep our show on the air, become an EPP extra podcast person on our website at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year, get 1 month free and a bunk bed bell. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.